My name's Kevin. So glad you could be here with us today. I'm glad you're joining us for this series. We're doing a series through the gospel, the good news. It's an eight-part series, and it could have been way longer because we're looking at all the ways that the gospel is good news. And I think we're most familiar with the gospel as the message of Jesus conquering death and the promise of eternal life. But what we are less familiar with is how the gospel impacts us in the here and the now. And this is something that Jesus in the gospels talks a lot about. He taught us about the kingdom of God being present in the here and now with him. And he taught about the abundant life. So I want to look at that, and I want to look at how the gospel is more and better and bigger than we can imagine. And the gospel affects us right now, in the present, in the here, in the now, in the everyday. So today, I want to look at what it means to become more like Jesus and ask the question, is becoming more like Jesus good news for us? Well, there's an answer. You're on the right track. Is the Christian journey of becoming more like Jesus, is it duty? Is it difficult? Is it torment? Or is it great joy? Is it discovery? Is it adventure? Is it flourishing? For us to become more Christ-like is for us to discover and become fully all that God created us to be. And that's an awesome journey. It's a journey of us discovering our full humanity and full potential. And that is part of the good news for now, for today, for every day, here and now. So I'm going to hold these two things together. The image of God with all humans and the process of becoming more Christ-like. Something that we call sanctification. I want to bring those things together. And the journey of becoming like Jesus, this process of embracing the gospel and becoming all that God has created us to be, starts with the image of God and moves to sanctification. So I'm going to start with the image of God. Because I think we need to start with this, with God's love and the character of God, so we understand his grace and his mercy. And I also know this, that most of us don't fully grasp just how much God loves us and how much each person is worth. I don't think we grasp that. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see a person who has incomparable worth and value, something to offer? And I know sometimes I look in the mirror and in the morning I go, whoa, that's scary. Not usually though. My wife says, no, it's not, that's awesome. This conversation we have with our image, it reminds me a bit of the fairy tale Snow White. And I'm sure you guys all know about this fairy tale, right? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest? Wow. I'm not the only one. So you've heard that before. This wicked witch was obsessed with her own image, obsessed with being the best looking person in the land. Had to be the best looking, had to be. And every day the mirror tells her that she's the most beautiful of all. There's no other that's more beautiful than her. And her whole identity is based on her physical beauty. She needs to hear that from the mirror. She needs that. Until one day the mirror gives her a different answer. It tells her that Snow White, surprise, surprise, got you guys there, didn't I? Is the fairest one of all. And she loses it because she can't stand looking in the mirror and thinking that someone else looks better than her. Now, I know that this is maybe something that we can easily laugh off as a fairy tale, but often these fairy tales come up through generations and generations, and they ask very deep, profound questions. So really the question, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Is a really profound, hard-hitting question. When you look in the mirror, What do you see? When you look in the mirror, who do you see? When you see yourself in your mind's eye, what do you see? When you gaze into your reflection, do you see someone who is loved? Someone who is created beautiful? Someone with dignity? Someone with irreplaceable value? Do you see that? I think all of us look in some kind of a mirror and ask the question, am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Do I measure up? Am I acceptable? What do you see when you look in the mirror? When you reflect on your life, who you are, your personality, your abilities, your uniqueness, do you see someone who is created uniquely and has something to offer, something special? Do you see gifting and potential? What do you see? Sometimes I think we get stuck in this lie that it's somehow better, more humble, more Christian to be really hard on ourselves. To not see ourselves as priceless. To see ourselves maybe as redeemed garbage. But it's not the truth. We are all of incredible value. We are, as humans, all created in the image of God. And that image is connected to the work that God wants to do. The theology of the image of God comes right at the beginning of the Bible when God created humankind and he sets us apart as unique. And the very first time in the Bible that humans are mentioned is with the utmost dignity. It's with the utmost value. This is Genesis 1:26. First time humans are mentioned. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image." In our likeness. Imagine that. We have this revelation of who God is and who humans are, and the very first mention of humans with God is that we are created in the image of God. That somehow, in some way, we share something with the Creator. And I think that in the context of when this was first written, it was totally scandalous and countercultural and other. It set Yahweh, the Creator, apart from other gods immediately. And it set humans apart as something special in creation. I love the way King David expresses this in Psalm 139, verse 14. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Did you hear that? That was King David speaking. But it's fair and true and good to know that this is spoken to all humanity. To us, to you. Listen to it again. The first part, it's about you. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And I wonder, do we believe that deep down in our hearts? Do we believe it in our head but not our hearts? Now, I know Dan really pushed the boundary by walking out there and getting people to clap. I'm going to push the boundary a bit more, but not that far. That was ridiculous. I want you to say this out loud with me. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That wasn't too hard, and you did a good job. Thank you. Now, this is where it's going to push the boundaries a bit. Can you guys remember that? Let's try it once more. Say it to me.
I praise you because I'm fearfully.
Can we put that on the screen? Yeah, sorry, interrupted you. I didn't mean to do that. But we should have that on the screen to make it easier for everyone. Just wait a second. NIV. Okay, so I'm just going to let you know what we're going to do. I bet you can do it, but just in case, I want it up on the screen. I want you to go find someone that you think needs to hear that, or someone right next to you, whatever, someone, anyone, and I want you to say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, you guys can do that. Right now.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made.
So are you. Thank you. Okay, you guys did a really good job, and I can see now that you didn't need that on the screen. It was only a few words, but that's okay. You did a great job, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Each one of you is. And you know what it means that we are created in the image of God? It means that every single human being, no matter what, is of value and to be treated with respect and dignity. We are precious. We are precious. You are precious. And you know that mirror that we can look into? When we look into that mirror, God looks back and he sees all that we can be. He sees potential. He sees all that we are created to be. And he sees uniqueness and value. And no matter what, he sees someone that he loves. And someone that he values and treasures beyond imagination. That's what's on the other side of the mirror. And I wonder how many of us can accept this truth and are willing to let that truth confront the lies and garbage and hurt that accumulates in our lives. And I wonder how many of us can accept the truth of the gospel and hear that the Father delights in you. Can you hear that? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. All of you. Okay, so now we've established the image of God as our starting point. And I want to talk now about transformation. Transformation that is offered in the gospel message. It's the life of abundance. And it's the fact that humanity bears the image of God that is a fundamental part of this, as is also the fact that the image is tainted by sin, is hurt by it, is damaged by it, and it's restored by salvation. So here's the thing. The gospel is the good news of transformation. Becoming like Jesus is freedom and victory and ultimately the ability to look in that mirror and hear God say back, "In you I am well pleased." Transformation as a process has two parts. First, we have been made holy through Christ, through his death and resurrection. Second, we are called to grow into and strive for holiness by cooperating with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's called sanctification, and it means to be set apart and made holy, to holify. We're called to holify. I like that better. This is Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, and it talks about this process of transformation. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, a few things you should know about these verses. Chapter 12 is a major transition in the book of Romans, and it's actually the whole section before the Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans, went to pains to set this up. So the book up till now has been about the how and the what of transformation. And he shows us that it's through the death and life and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we can be transformed into all that God has for us. And it's through Jesus that we have freedom to be. It's through Jesus that we can look in that mirror and actually say, God, you did do good work. Wow, you did good work. So in view of all of this, we are told to offer ourselves, all of ourselves, our whole selves, body and spirit and mind, to God as living sacrifices. To give our all. To not hold back. To leave it all there on the table. And the way it is now, when we approach God in the spirit of worship and love and gratitude, we offer ourselves as offerings. We don't offer animals. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Living because we have been brought from death to life. This is what happens. We give ourselves to God as a sacrifice when we understand His grace and its place in our lives. And we offer ourselves, not ignorantly, like humans brought to slaughter, but intelligently and willingly. This is the worship that pleases God. And it's a way of life, and it's choices that we make in the everyday. And a note on sanctification. This is our part. This is our role. We offer ourselves. We give ourselves. And if we want to become like Jesus, to become our full selves, we need to join with the Spirit and do our part. The journey that we might call discipleship, the journey of faith, is a journey of adventure and discovery that awakens us and it frees us to be all that God ever intended us to be. And we can say that at our heart, at our basic, at our most primal level, we are created for fellowship with God. That's in us. That's part of us. And that's what happens when you're created in God's image. And if we move beyond that to the second Adam, which Jesus is referred to, it means that that Christ fulfills that image, that drive in us. And we become fully human only when we become like Christ. State another way. The more we become like Christ, the more alive and the more fully human we become. And I want you to imagine and understand that this isn't something awful, something that you just have to do but don't want to. It's not something like waking up every morning and because someone told you you should drink apple cider vinegar every day, you do it because it's good for you. Show of hands, who does that? And you love it, right? Yeah. But it's freeing and releasing and empowering. And it's about shedding those things that hurt us and harm us and hold us captive and down. It's about freedom. It's about becoming who we are. Just in case I've given the impression that we're doing this all individually, by ourselves, and viewing that salvation story as this individual journey, I need to make this very clear, that the only place for a person to fully flourish into what God has for them is in the context of Christian community. You want to be holy? You can do good things like being by yourself every day and praying in silence and solitude. You can find a quiet place and read your Bible. Memorize it. Those are good things. But if you're really serious, try being in a relationship with another person. And you'll begin to understand the hard work that that takes, because we cannot become fully who we are without the rub and scrape and push and pull of other relationships and people around us. So, you guys, through the transformative work of Jesus Christ, are full of potential. You are full of potential, and God wants to bring that image out in you and make it more fully like Him, more fully alive, more fully human. In Jesus, we are full of potential. And I wonder if you can say this with me. Can you say this to someone? In Jesus, you are full of potential. Say that to someone else, please. Yeah, you can get carried away and say it to a whole bunch of people if you want. In Jesus, you are full of potential. The pursuit of holiness is good news. Becoming more like Jesus frees us to become more truly ourselves. And let me tell you, let me guarantee you, this doesn't mean losing our identity or our personality. It means flourishing into the image of all we are in Psalm 139 fully. That is good news. The gospel is big, the gospel is great, the gospel is powerful, and the gospel is better than we can imagine. What do you see when you look in the mirror? What do you see? We are God's children. And when we live into that and are transformed into that, watch out, world, because we can do anything. Amen.